I heard a Talking Music show, must have been 2 years ago, and it was, I was listening to KVNF at home, like I often do, and heard Ali talking to somebody who was talking about playing trombone and was mentioning some fairly obscure kind of contemporary New Orleans bands that I was really into, and bands that I've seen and bands that I like to follow on YouTube. And she had a real sense for the kind of feel and history and texture of New Orleans music. And so I was really excited. So I sent Allie an email and was like, hey, you need to get me in touch with that trombone player you were talking to.
And I then, know. And she didn't want to do the interview either, no, did you?
Totally bucked it.
See, aren't you glad I made you do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not exactly the kind of, I mean, you're not going to run into people who are into this kind of music everywhere. It's
no.
not like this huge scene going on with.
Yeah, it's pretty ironic because we, you know, she was working with Megan over at North Fork Foods at the time. And so like, yeah, we'll swing by. And, you know, she had borrowed a trombone and I brought my guitar down. And like, within half an hour, we knew the same songs, like obscure songs. It's like people don't know these songs unless, you know, maybe Felix knows these songs, but other people don't usually know these songs. And,
right.
And I was like, oh, do you know this one? And she starts playing the melody and it's like, oh, yeah, what key? Yeah. And it's like Avalon or Chica Verbe or, you know, some pretty obscure stuff. And it's cool because you know, she had the texture and she understood where the music came from. And, you know, we play, I mean, I've been playing a lot of those songs in other contexts, but it's more about like string showmanship and, you know, let's play Avalon as fast as you can and let's rip out these solos on a guitar or a mandolin or whatever, which is fun too. But then to me, it was really nice contrast just to be like, hey, let's just feel it and let this groove and just let it be kind of, you know, greasy and bluesy and New Orleans street vibe. So
yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
Talk about this style of music and how each of you kind of fell into it. Like, how did you get into this, Laser?
Yeah, I've been playing this stuff, I guess, for the better part of 10 years. After the hurricane, my high school got really into, we were supporting some people down there. And so I got really lucky and fell into an established band in this style, which, like, there weren't a lot of people my age doing. There were like three of us, which was weird enough as it was. But yeah, and I totally got immersed in that and learned the language in a way that not a lot of people get to just by kind of hearing it out and about.
For me, you know, I've played in some other groups that did a lot of 20s and 30s, more like folk and blues stuff, which is, you know, pulls from a lot of this similar audience. And then I got into what I would call swing music and, you know, Django Reinhardt, and pretty quickly figured out I can't really play the guitar like he can and probably never will be able to, so, or whatever. But it's, you know, there was a time in my life where I didn't listen to any music that was recorded, you know, after World War II. And so I ran across a lot of this and it just sunk into my conscious. And, you know, for me, it's like, even when you hear a song for the first time, you've heard it so many times because it's seeped through every musical tradition that we call Americana has New Orleans in it. So that's kind of my story.
I know, and we're exposed to a lot of music from New Orleans on KVNF. I feel like New Orleans is represented.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a whole show, Gumbo Yaya, and
yeah.
Then we have quite a few bands come through here from New Orleans at various festivals. KVNF brings multiple genres to the airwaves, and we feature a lot of live music and interviews on this show. What do you think the value of that is, and that kind of variety to a community? And there's some communities that don't have a community radio station. So,
I mean, I grew up in a small town in Idaho Springs, Colorado, and I was really lucky to have like some band directors that turned me on to some different stuff. It's all about exposure, you know. If you're in a small community, or even if you're in a big community, it's hard to get exposure to a lot of different things. So to me, the value is just, you know, you throw 200 things at somebody and 5 or 6 of them are going to stick, and it may impact what they choose to pursue as an artist or a musician or just as a person.
I grew up in a huge city where I could have easily got lost in like the mainstream of everything going on there. You don't get to put your finger on any other pulse, you know, because you're so inundated by it. So it's amazing to be exposed to so much in such a small community where you can actually interact with people exposing you to it as well.
And David, I know you're a teacher, David Alderdice, and you've been a music teacher and you've been in this community for a while, and you're bringing a lot of world music to the Blue Sage now. You have a world music series. You've been a big part of culturally exposing people out here to that. Why do you put your energy there?
Oh, it's so important. There's something, like, I was born down in New Orleans, so I grew up, and I lived in D.C. after that, so I grew up with this African-American music culture and all this street music, and the way that it grooves, the city groove, is different than what's happening in a more rural area. So there's something about mixing some of the energies and bringing the creative art forms and not having the boundaries of African-American art versus African art versus other types of art versus city and urban music versus country music versus rural music. I mean, it's all music. We're all humans, you know? So bringing, like, world music, you know, like, I'm the head of the world music, like, in quotes, you know? Like, what is world music, you know? Like, world music is anything in this world, you know? So, like, yeah, I'm bringing Turkish music in, or we're doing a lot of stuff from New Orleans, but world music is whatever comes from a human heart, you know? Like, we're on this world, you know, all together. So, but, yeah, there's something about that street music and bringing in the parade stuff, bringing in this feel, the Southern feel, you know, it's a whole different thing. You know, it's a sweaty music, you know, it's a humid music, which here we have a lot of dry music. It goes with the climate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does go with the climate and the history of a place. I'm here with the Grizzly Pears. Let's hear a song.
Okay. We're going to get Laser to sing you one. You know, being out here in farm country, you have to have songs with farm animals. This is an audience participation number. If you're out there driving in the car, whatever, you can feel free to sing along.
Got kit, and the dogs got fleet.
Yep, yep, yep.
It could happen to them.
It can happen to them.
It could happen to me. Well, baby's got the measles.
Well, 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 well.
And daddy's got the flu.
That too.
If it could happen to them.
It can happen to them.
It could happen to you. And the bald-headed baby, he's got a big hat. You say jig, jig,
jiggity, jig, jiggity, jig.
And it's not like that. Cat's got kittens,
meow.
And the dog's got fleas.
Woof, woof.
It can happen to them.
It can happen to them.
It can happen to me.
Thank you.
Well, the cat's got kitten, and the dog's got flea.
Yep, yep.
If it could happen to them,
it could happen to them.
It could happen to me. Well, baby's got the measles, and daddy's got the flu. If it could happen to them,
it could happen to them.
It could happen to you. And the bald-headed baby, he's got a big hat. Didn't say chick chick,
jiggity jig jig.
And it's not like that. Well, the cat's got kit.
Roof, roof.
And the dog's got fleet.
Meow.
If it could happen to them,
it could happen to them.
It could happen to me. If it could happen to them, it could happen to me.
You guys should do a children's album.
Yeah.
The Grizzly Pears, I mean, everything about it could work.
It could.
It would be like one of those children's albums that's actually for adults.
Yeah.
Where it's like a little dark, but the kids goes over their head, so.
Yeah. No, we were thinking about it. Well, and there's a lot of songs that we do that are kind of cautionary tales of love gone wrong. Uh-huh. Like St. James Infirmary, which is basically about this guy who's got syphilis and he's watching his girlfriend die of syphilis and he knows he's gonna die.
Okay, maybe that doesn't go on the
well
kids
no
album.
here's stick with me. I was thinking we could maybe get like some abstinence only education funds and go do like a high school program where we just sing really bad songs about you know love that's gone wrong. I mean there's real money in that.
You see a grant out there.
Yeah, I see a grant out there.
And this is the Grizzly Pears, if you're just tuning in. John Hickam on guitar. And Animal Noises for that last one. Laser Kid Cotterwich on trombone and vocals. David Alderdice on drums. How did you guys come up with the name The Grizzly Pears? How did that happen?
Well, the inspiration was actually there's a fruit brand in the valley called Grizzly Fruit. And they had these really cool old labels. And, you know, the grizzly bear's been extinct since, like, the 50s in Colorado, so it's kind of about tying into that. Mm. And then a little bit with the ag thing, but mainly I just thought it'd make for a good logo.
It does.
Yeah. You know, it's not as arbitrary as it sounds. And if you want, you can check out our grizzlypears.com. Grizzlypears.com is our website. It is pretty much the most low-tech website you're ever going to see. Sometimes
check
put
it out just for that.
Yeah, I'll put little sticky notes on there on the webpage, which is hard to do, you know. You just get them up there on the interweb, but with our gigs and stuff like that. But it does have this great logo that my 11-year-old daughter drew. So
very nice. There's and you do have some gigs coming up.
Yes. On Friday, October 23rd, we are opening up for the Dirty Bourbon River Show, which is I'm so glad Amy's bringing these guys in. I've been, this is one of those kind of obscure bands that I've been following on YouTube and listening to the recordings for a while. And they've got a great lineup with a bunch of horns, sousaphone, and accordion.
It's New Orleans style.
Yeah, it's a New Orleans style. Kind of gets a lot onto the cabaret side. And
they should not make a children's album.
They should not make a children's album. So we're looking forward to that. And then we, the Grizzly Pears aren't directly involved, but there's a group of folks that we associate with in various capacities that will be playing at the Burlesque Show, which is November 22nd.
At 22nd, the Paradise.
Or 20th and 21st, at the Paradise Theater as well. So more details on that as it comes up.
Well, that's so cool that you're the live band for the Burlesque Show because I just love it when there's live musicians for any of our theatrical productions. It adds
It
adds something.
And it's more work, you know. I mean, I'm grateful that people are willing to, you know, take the time and come up with the money because it's pretty easy just to throw an iPod in the house sound system and press play and cue up a couple things on your Windows Media Player or whatever, but, you know, to take the time to, as someone who's putting a show on and invests in live music and making things work, then we can give a lot back, and we'll make it pretty darn cool.
So I've been asking a lot of musicians this question lately. It's kind of deep, so put your deep hat on. But it's getting great answers, so I have to just keep asking this question. But what do you love about music?
There's so many things I love about music. I mean, everything is the first thing I love about music, you know? The way it makes me feel, the way it makes other people feel. Nobody wants to play music because of how it's intellectualized. It's because how it makes us feel. It's one of the things that we all can feel as a group, as playing music together. It's a community thing. We have to tap into each other. We have to be on the same page. We can't have any miscommunication or anything in between us because that shows up in the music. So to get out of the way and just become the music, you know? Mm-hmm. And so for me, that process of getting out of the way and letting the music work through me personally, work through my instrument, work through the other musicians I'm playing with, work through any dancers, work through any participators in any way, work through the students, work through the listeners or the audience. Like, it's just something that works, and it's vibration, it's healing, it gets inside you. And I swear it rearranges your DNA, these vibrations and this music. It gets in you, and it changes us and the human experience at the utmost level.
What I like about creating music is that it's a great outlet for creativity, because it's, as you create it, it kind of moves on. You know, if you were a really creative house carpenter, and I've got some friends like this, and you'd always be like adding on a room here or doing this and doing that. And then you just, you know, it always has to be more and more. And with something, you know, like the song that we just played, we'll never play it that same way again. And it's off floating into the ether, you know, at 2000 feet per second, slowly dispersing. And we created it, and we had that experience of creating it, but now we don't necessarily have that clutter of having it, you know, having to find a place to stick it on the wall. And maybe I take this one off and I put that one on and instead or whatever, you know? So I like the transient nature of how you can create something, have it disperse, experience that beauty, and then go create something else mm-hmm. with almost a clean slate.
Yeah, like the impermanence of it.
Yeah,
it's like those sand mandalas that
exactly. Yeah, it's like you create it not because of how it persists, and it's different when you get into recording. But you know, I'm not doing much of that right now. And you create it because of the experience of creating it, and how you feel creating it, and how people experience, you know, consuming it. But then it is consumed, and then it's gone, and or it's floating out there at some level, but it's not something that, you know, you have to find like a physical place for.
Yeah,
I love that everybody hears music, you know, we all hear it, we all experience it, but everyone takes it differently, and some people just hate certain things, and some people just adore other things. And like, I'm known to be fairly picky, but I also have a really broad spectrum of my liking or loving music zone. But I like that you can't really argue about it with people, because there's no convincing someone what's right or wrong. It's like,
yeah,
all just personal opinion, and it's miraculous how many different sounds there are out there. Like, I want to hear it all, and that drives me crazy sometimes. I just want to, like, even if I don't like it, I just want to know what people are.
I know. I will spend time trying to understand a music that I don't like sometimes. Have you mm-hmm. done that? You're like, God, I can't stand it. I must understand this music, you know?
I've found some really cool stuff that way. I'm uh-huh. like, I found I love it after really kind of forcing it almost.
Yeah, and I can always find a version of it that I like. For a long time, I didn't like metal. I just couldn't understand it. It just was vibrationally like not jiving with me. And then I went to a Tool concert, and I was like, oh, I get it now. At least I get this version of metal.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's never ending, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Thanks for getting deep with me, guys.
Yeah. That's how we roll.
Right on. Have you guys thought about playing a slow jam?
Yeah, we can do a slow jam for you, for sure.
Right now? Or yeah. Just at, oh, wow.
No, okay. We have some slow songs, and that's one of the things I've really enjoyed about this group is that it's hard to, especially playing string instruments, it's hard to play plucked string instruments and really have slow stuff sound good. And we've locked into some things, and big inspiration for me was the Blues Dancing Festival that came mm-hmm. through, you know, and how people, you know, this like 80, 90 beats a minute stuff, people were just grooving to that. And
is that slow?
Yeah, that's slow. Okay, and cool. Just as a musician, giving yourself permission not to play, which is, sounds kind of strange, but, you know, it's better to have not put too many notes in and maybe miss a couple of ones that could have been in there, which is, I turned 40 this summer, and so that's a complete flip for how I've lived the rest of my life. I always threw in as many notes as possible because I figured, well, I'll probably miss a couple, but I'll make up for it in volume, you know, but... You know, you get old and your fingers start getting sore. And you're like, well, maybe I should, you know, make it count.
Kind of sounds good this way. Yeah. Sorry, that's not how we talk when we're 40.
Yeah. Sometimes.
I met this kid at the Rev that I said, for some reason, he was guessing people's ages.
Yeah.
And I said, guess how old I am. And he goes, 16. And I was like, oh, my God, thank you. But that, no, I'm not 16. Try again. And he goes, 54? I realized he just had no idea what he was talking about. So anyway,
yeah,
I'm somewhere between 16 and 54.
I think we all are.
All right. Well, let's hear one more from the Grizzly Pears.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to pull out the accordion, so we're going to reset some levels. Noodle around
and
a little
while
bit.
While you noodle, I'm going to remind people that it is our fall pledge drive. It's all about connections. And so I had to invite a band that pretty much connected through this program. And so, yeah, support that. 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now.
Well, Miss May the Walker, she's got a mighty rough man. Miss May the Walker, she does the best that she can. Oh, yeah. She get up early in the morning. We'll make her lunch. Goes on the street with that hustling bunch. Miss May the Walker, she's got a mighty rough man. Miss May the Walker, she's got a mighty rough man. Miss May the Walker, she does the best that she can. Well, he's got to have his loving when his habits get on. Early in the evening, it's all night long. Miss May the Walker, she's got a mighty rough man. Thank you.
Miss May the Walker, she's got a mighty rough mane. Miss May the Walker, she does the best that she can. Oh, and don't. Well, he'd take all the money, he'd throw it against the wall. She keeps what sticks, boys, he takes what falls. Miss May the Walker, he got a mighty rough man. Miss May the Walker, she's got a mighty rough man. Miss May the Walker, she does the best that she can. Take a butcher knife, cut off his head, send a telegram that his body is dead. Miss May the Walker, he's got a mighty rough man. All right, one more time. She's got a mighty rough mane.